Good morning. It is always a pleasure to see each of you here today. I believe Ironman's on today. Is that where everyone else is? The committed are here. That is great. And if I may, just really exciting for you to look over that general direction over there to welcome back Richard and Mim. So exciting. Been looking across the room, God, I want to say hey. I figured I can just say hi now. One of my greatest joys at the Lakes Church is to lead our youth and young adults. And on the weekend, we had a sleepover here on Friday night. Lots of lessons were learnt, not much sleep was had. And I think it's really fitting that part of my message today talks about grace and community on a day when I am about 8 hours sleep over the whole weekend. So we trust in God's grace for this message today, that he will show us what we need to each learn today. If you were to map the people and groups in your life, what might it look like? Many circles, a few, large circles, small circles? How important are the people in each of these groups? Are there key groups that you are invested in so much more than others? Some circles of people that you would give all of your time for? And in which groups do you feel the safest, most comfortable? And what makes you feel that way in those particular groups? Have you ever joined a community, a group, a collective of people that has changed the course of your life? Because just as one friend may change the course of your life, you might be one community away from changing your destiny. I've shared the story with you before. 16 years ago, I went to church on a Sunday night, expecting not really much at all. And perhaps if I had said no to the invitations that followed, that night would be just a distant memory with no consequence. But from an invitation to supper, to attend a small group, and then later on to be part of the youth leadership team there, my life has gone on a completely different trajectory that is vastly different from the one I was living before. But after all that, I recall 4 years ago being in that place where I was the person who used to say yes to meet people, to join new groups, to go to different events, to being the person who started to make more excuses. And I discovered that more and more people were doing the same thing, finding the reasons not to attend, not to participate. We were looking for reasons to say no. Perhaps not everyone. But I think it's fair to say that we have, on whole, noticed a decrease in community participation. And that's not just in churches, but in the scope of all human activity. There is a lower commitment to work. Volunteer numbers are down. Sporting group numbers are down. And we can blame certain things in society. We can blame COVID. We can blame social media. We can blame inflation. We can blame declining health from plastics and forever chemicals. And I'd like to suggest that while these things have a role to play, that they have only heightened or exacerbated or brought to the surface some tensions that were already simmering within. Some of our internal struggles that perhaps we didn't have the space or the excuse we needed to be really honest about what we were feeling. These are things like anxiety, being afraid of what we don't know, being afraid of the future, distrust, you know, holding people to such impossibly high standards, the burden of obligation, things that we felt like we had to keep doing and we couldn't say no to, but then we finally had this excuse to say no, exhaustion, people being burnt out, overworked, unwell, comparisons with one another. I don't think it's just social media that made that happen. I remember even as a child, well before social media, feeling that sense of comparison with one another, you know, looking to who's better than us or who we might be better than. And of course there's hurt. For so many of us, we've experienced hurts and conflicts in our society, in our groups. And for many, it can increase our likelihood to shy away. Maybe it's something we've done that's caused embarrassment or shame. Like if I said something really, really wrong up here today and had like 10 letters of complaint afterwards, would I be willing to show my face here next week? I'm not sure. So if you're really honest with yourself, what has been some of the reasons that you might have stepped back from community engagement participation? What are some of the reasons you might have seen around you? I used to say yes a lot. Some of it was a need to please. Some of it was an inability to say no. But it was also this genuine desire to be involved in the communities I was a part of, to meet new people, to have a place in society. But I, as I got older, my body got a little bit more weary and tired, you know, struggling to stand up, not quite like I used to. My knees are creaking. I'm just not quite as like energetic as I used to be to connect in with others. And I just have this whole lot less energy and confidence that I used to have. And this is what, for myself, I've been working to come back from over these last few years. And I can see so many people on this journey with me. You know, we reached this point where we started to disengage and we're all trying to like claw our way back in or find our way back in or climb our way back in or whatever it is, heal ourselves so that we can feel, have the confidence to participate in society more fully again. You've probably heard catchphrases like, it takes a village to raise a child. Three cords are not easily broken. A chain is stronger, no stronger than its weakest link. Many hands make light work, and there's no I in team. Now, each of these warrant a disclaimer or two, but I'm going to assume at face value we would look at those and go, yeah, that's about right. But I don't know if they really affect us on a deeper level. We might just quote them when they suit our purpose. So what I'm hoping for us today is that we can maybe reclaim some new catchphrases that might help us re-engage with our community, our church community, and the other groups that we're a part of. So here are two of the lines that we've been using in our series on friendship. Show me your friends and I will show you your future. Walk with the wise and become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. And with these in mind, I have a question for us to ponder on. Where do all the fools go if everyone wants to friend up? It's a fair question because, see, if I'm a fool and you are wise, I'm going to want to be your friend, but you're not going to want to be my friend. So I would be forced to choose between no friends or fools for friends. But the trouble with this question and this dilemma is that it makes the assumption that we all fit into one of two categories. We're either a fool or we're wise. But the reality is, we're all fools. Sorry. I've had many great leaders and mentors over the years. Some have reached significant heights in their work and ministry. And they have all each developed me to grow so much under their leadership. But not a single one of them, I would say, is wise in every aspect of life. And every one of them had at least a few, sometimes many more, blaringly obvious areas of foolery in their life. This is the thing. We have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. And if we think we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves and we've missed the truth. And because of this, we are encouraged in the letters in the Bible to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient and bear with one another in love, and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So as a fool, I can acknowledge that I make a lot of mistakes, some more recent than others. I have a lot to learn. I feel like I make a new mistake every day. I know that sometimes I'm rigid when I should be more relaxed, and I'm more relaxed when I should be more firm and stick to clearer boundaries. But also, as well as this, I'm nearly 40. I've had some experiences, I've learned some things, and I have something that I can offer to others. I am both a fool, but also have wisdom to share. And this is a catchphrase I want each of you to remember today. It's a bit of a reframing. for each of us to say, I am one of the fools and I have wisdom to share. But this is true for the people around you. Someone, I'm going to be a little bit cheesy and dorky, if you can maybe find someone near you and say something like, you're a fool and you have some wisdom to share. Can we try that today? I'm sorry if it's awkward and cheesy. If you're sitting on your own or not near anyone else, say it to yourself. Laura, you're a fool and you have something wise to share. Thank you. If you're watching at home, please say it to someone in the room or maybe text it to a friend randomly. This isn't to contradict the notion of having a tight inner close circle of wise friends, but this is acknowledging the place and value of each person within our broader community. That perhaps we would be able to give a little bit more time and consideration to the people and groups that we might not otherwise have engaged with. We all have a part to play in this community and in our other communities. We all have a part to play in the ebb and flow of generosity. In the letter written to the Romans, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Sometimes people get discounted in communities. This could be within a church, in a friendship circle, a small group, a family, a workplace. Perhaps it is someone who's not as confident or as articulate as the other people in the group. Or perhaps it's a person who talks too much. Maybe it's a person who always spits when they speak or speaks in a way that you can't understand. Perhaps it's a person in your groups that has been in your mind deemed the fool for these reasons or for others. But the goal of community is not to amputate our members, but rather to strengthen the connections. See, what often happens when there is a perceived power imbalance, like if I think I'm better than you, I'll create that power imbalance and try to make that happen to try and assert my place of dominance because it makes me feel better about me. And we do this sometimes without realizing it or not. And in the book Sex, Money, Power, it makes the suggestion that this can play out in sometimes the simplest ways of people asserting their space or their thought of themselves as a dominant person in a relationship. And this can happen in things like being the one that always shouts a coffee but never the one to receive a free coffee. Anyone want to own up to being guilty of that? Then there's many reasons that can happen. But I wonder if, you know, if that is something that we do or those similar kind of behaviours, I wonder if we're willing to ask ourselves, well, why is it that I'm not able to let someone buy me a coffee? Why is it that someone else can't buy me a meal? Like, do I actually think I have more than them or I'm better than them? But when we acknowledge the mutual worth of one another, we protect the dignity of each person. And we're more likely to receive from others that we might have otherwise have only helped. It elevates and brings people side by side. This notion can stir within us a desire for humility. Perhaps if it challenges us, we're like, yeah, I actually want to be humble more and want to help raise somebody else to a place of dignity. But perhaps it also challenges our pride. Maybe the idea of asking for help or receiving help from someone is really scary. But we can recognize that there are many societal injustices that have led to some natural power imbalances that occur, you know, such as an adult and a child. But these imbalances do not need to impede upon a person's dignity and sense of self-worth and purpose. We read in the early church that everyone brought together what they had and shared with one another. But what we don't read is that those who brought more had better seats. The letter to the church in Galatians encourages us to think about it this way, to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. for each one should carry their own load. We heard a message on this earlier in the year or late last year that encouraged us to ensure that we're not overhelping, that we're taking responsibility for our own things and allowing others the autonomy to do the same. So what we want to think about is having a culture of reciprocity, but for the interest of being able to pronounce it, I'm just going to say that a healthy community is marked by the ebb and flow of generosity, to give and to receive. I have a good friend that hopefully you'll all get to meet soon. She's really excited about moving close to our church and being able to be a part of this community. Currently, she's in a season where she needs a lot of extra support to get through some challenges that she's facing. And she is someone who is able to ask for help. She's able to accept gifts that are given to her. But she does not take it for granted. She will insist on paying for the things that she is able to and that she asks for. And she's someone who is grateful for what she's been given and desperate for an opportunity to give back. She's part of the circle that I would call my community. We live very different lives. Yet she has been able to demonstrate a wisdom in this area that I have struggled with. This is the ebb and flow of generosity that does not deny people the opportunity to contribute in meaningful ways. And it keeps a conversation for every one of us to ask for help when we need it. So to break down some of these barriers of participation in community, we have considered firstly that we are all fools and that we have something to share, which helps us release our high expectations of ourselves and of others. It helps us to seek wisdom and understanding. And we've considered this culture of the ebb and flow of generosity, that we are all able to participate in the giving and receiving. And this last potential phrase that hopefully might catch on is that inner strength can protect us from influence. In our community, our church communities, our small groups, our friendship circles, our family, there will be people whose lifestyle might be a temptation. It might try to create an influence for people to do something that they know they shouldn't. And in this practice of acknowledgement and self-awareness, I wonder if we can accept that maybe this might be an us problem and not a them problem. In our community, we are all on so many different journeys, at so many different points, focusing on so many different kinds of things at the same time. Should the person who is focusing on ridding their life of gossip avoid a community that includes a person who perhaps has rid their life of gossip and worked on so many things but is still struggling with kleptomania? You know, in some societies, we might say, oh, yes, we won't have that person in our community because they're doing this so obviously blatant sin. But what if they've actually been working through and have all this wisdom in the areas that we might need support in? See, we will never find a community of perfectly wise people. But we can be willing to learn from and grow from being part of wider and broader groups than we may have previously considered. Let's look at the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans on this. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who you insult have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And in verse 5 it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." And we know the way that which Christ has accepted us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We each have strengths that need to be acknowledged. Disclaimer for a self-disclosure thing that might make you think less of me. Some of you already know, I used to smoke. Definitely not something I'm in any way proud of. And I know it's something that so many people still struggle with today. See, I started in my teens and quit in my early 20s. It's been over 16 years since I touched a smoke, and I can assure you that I'm not even tempted for a second. In fact, I have many friends who are smokers, and if they light up, I'd take at least 3 meters away. Like, hi, I still love you, but I'm over here now. It's okay to have those boundaries to protect ourselves from harm by recognizing that not everything is actually going to tempt us, because we have strengths. We can stand firm in the things that we know matters to us. We do not have to fear being influenced by every possible waywardness of others. If we are looking for a community full of perfect people, we'll always be looking. We are not on whole weak-minded people. We might think we are. We might think the society is full of weak-minded people, but we are not. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. As your faith strengthens, so is your ability to engage in a broader groups of people without the fear of influence. So when you hold your ground and put your measures in place, your love for people in the community will overcome your fear, and your love for God will overcome your temptation. In 1 Peter 5, he writes, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Resist him. Resist that temptation. Standing firm in the faith, this is possible through our faith in Jesus Christ. 14 years ago, I started a new job in an ultra-multicultural suburb in West Sydney. During my very first week, I was casually invited to come along to a group called Curry and Jesus. It was a curry meal followed by a Bible study that was intended for new Christians who were newly arrived migrants, primarily from India, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Sri Lanka. I accepted, having no idea what I was walking into, and that was the first time I have ever felt my mouth burn quite so much. But it was also in that moment that I discovered this real love for the flavour of curry. Apparently cordial is the key, not milk. I drank a lot of cordial that year. So I went to this group, and I kept going for 3 years, and I made great friends. I learnt so much. I didn't really learn anything about the Bible in those studies. They were geared towards new Christians, and there wasn't really a lot that was going to be new information for me, but I learnt about them, the people. I learnt about the world, culture, food. I developed in my love for people who were different to me, and I learnt new ways of sharing my faith and connecting to people who had a different way of looking at the world. Overall, this group of people strengthened my faith and broadened my community. So you might be one community away from changing your destiny. One community away from some new lifelong friends. One community away from finding fresh healing, peace, purpose, and courage. The communities that we join, the small groups, the churches, the spaces that we're in will be full of fools just like us. But they will also offer us new wisdom and fresh perspectives. When we participate in this ebb and flow of generosity, both giving and receiving, we are respecting the worth and value of each person and finding a safe space for us to ask for help when we need it. And as we grow in our faith and deepen our connection with others, our inner strength increases. God's Spirit in us grows our resolve so that we can be a light in our communities without fear of influence. We can comfortably hold safe boundaries in one hand, with the other one stretched open for others. Now, there's some practical steps that we can take to increase our participation and involvement within communities. And I cannot urge enough for people to find a small group. The one I'm in is awesome. The food is vegan, the company is great. Not everybody can join because there's not enough space. I'm sorry. I highly recommend it. I love the people within it. We have great conversations. We challenge one another. And these are people that I know I can go to if ever I'm in need. We're not perfect, but they're pretty awesome all the same. And there is a great range of groups. There's opportunity for new groups. You might learn a lot about the Bible in these groups, but maybe you won't. You might feel challenged and growing yourself personally, but maybe you won't. But you will likely find some people that you can do life with that will stretch your understanding, increase your patience, and broaden your circles around you. Sometimes we have to give it time. Connections aren't always instantaneous. And sometimes we might join a community group looking for something that we once had. But as someone who has moved around a lot, not always by choice, it takes time. It takes intentionally pressing in, getting to know people, being patient, hearing their stories, learning about them. It can sometimes take years to feel something that we once had with another group. It's so worth it. It is so worth it to be a part of a community that you know you can be your foolish self in, and you know that you can learn from others. But alongside group, there are teams, different ways of serving. Now, that could be at a local op shop, or it could be here serving on hospitality, youth, music, kids. It is super helpful, not only just to keep things running, but also as a way to find new purpose, to find new friends, to broaden our community. But then we can do things like linger after church, just that little bit longer, 5 minutes more each day than you might have before. Or maybe even coming in a little bit earlier if you're a morning person. Good for you. There are also events at different times. There's a church picnic coming up. I have a thing on the screen for it. I think on the 30th of June, church picnic, a great opportunity to connect in, to meet new people. It's great for the young ones. Send some of the older, fitter ones, again, good for you, to run around and to play some sports. We'll also have the opportunity to celebrate some baptisms. It is such a strength in community to celebrate the wins. And in all these things, it's okay if you say something silly every once in a while. Or say something that you go home, you know when you say something and you go, oh my, did I really just say that? It's okay. We all do it. It's okay if there's awkward silences when you're making a new friend or connecting with someone you haven't spoken to before. It's okay if we disagree about things that might really matter to us. It's okay if there are occasional conflicts and hurts, because we can learn and grow through those. We can ask for forgiveness. We can practice forgiveness. Together, we can sharpen each other, which honestly sounds really painful. You know that sound of iron against iron or metal against metal? That hurts the ears. It can hurt when we sharpen each other. But if we stick it out together, we truly can grow and become the mature body of Him. Mature body of Christ our Lord. And that is our hope for us in community. You might be one community away from changing the course of your destiny. That might be this community. It might be here Sundays. It might be small groups. But there is an opportunity for you to pray and to seek God of which ways can I increase my participation in community? In which ways can I acknowledge my own foolery? In which ways can I offer my wisdom to others? In which ways can I ask for help? In which ways can I give to one another? And in which ways do I need to increase my faith so that I can be strengthened to withstand temptation or influence? I want to pray with us today and then hope that something of this sticks with you so that maybe you do linger just a little bit longer today, to sign up to join a team, to come to community group, to reach out to someone who might be just that little bit outside of your scope of visualizing. Might be someone who stands normally, maybe someone on this side of the room, might meet someone on this side of the room. It's a start, it's a step to broaden and strengthen our community together. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you who have shown us what love truly is, Lord, I pray that you would continually humble our hearts as we acknowledge our own foolery. That you would give us courage to ask for help, both in learning more wisdom, but that we would ask for help when we need it in other ways as well. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength to be able to use our wisdom to support others, that we would be able to share what we have, what you have given to us, that we can strengthen our whole community. And Lord, I pray with all of my heart that we would each continue on this journey of growing in our relationship with you, that our faith might strengthen, that our resolve might become stronger and bolder, that we can enter into spaces that might have once been a little bit scary, knowing that we are safe from harm because we have you. Lord, I pray for the conviction in all of our hearts to open our eyes just that little bit more, to see the community around us, to know that we are part of your body, your church. And this is for the benefit of ourselves and for others. We know this, Lord, in you. We give you thanks for this community that we are a part of. We give you thanks for the life that you have given us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.